God, I thank you that your word is true. Help us to have confidence in you and in your word. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Why do you read the Bible? For some people, it's an academic exercise. For most of us, though, we're looking for answers to life's most important questions. Maybe we're looking for hope. Maybe we're looking for some encouragement. Maybe we're discouraged and we just need God to give us some hope. Throughout the centuries, most people have turned to the Bible with a confidence that the Bible has the right answers, is trustworthy, communicates God and his nature to us in a way that's reliable. So it matters that we can have confidence in the Bible because that helps us have confidence in God. It especially matters because sometimes our instincts say one thing and the Bible says something else. What are we going to trust? Our instincts or the Bible? Sometimes it matters because our world says one thing and the Bible says something else, and we need to know, is the Bible trustworthy, or is it just filled with contradictions and therefore, if we don't agree with something, we can just kind of throw it out? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death. In other words, just being right, more than just being right, is at stake. Often, spiritual health or death is on the line. Now, sometimes when people read the Bible, they aren't sure what they are reading, and sometimes it'll appear contradictory. Or maybe you have a friend, and you have a friend who said, you know what, I don't believe the Bible because the Bible's full of contradictions. You know, I can't be a Christian because I read the Bible and it just seems like it says all different things in different places. And there are some Christians that kind of get buffaloed by that. It's like they're kind of afraid to ask, well, what contradictions do you mean? Because maybe we're afraid we won't be able to answer the contradictions. Today, I want to talk about that a little bit. Is the Bible full of contradictions? No. In fact, I believe the Bible is trustworthy. The Bible claims to be trustworthy, of course. If the Bible didn't claim to be trustworthy, we wouldn't certainly want to think it is, claim that it is. But 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture inspired is God-breathed, is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The first rule, I think, here for understanding apparent contradictions is that the proof for the contradiction is the responsibility of the accuser, not the accused. The accused is innocent until proven guilty. Most of the time, perhaps 100% of the time, when somebody says the Bible is full of contradictions, it's because of an assumption that their knowledge is superior and complete and the Bible is wrong. That their accusation is to be believed on faith rather than giving the benefit of doubt to the scriptures or to the literature. The first rule of humility, though, is that the accuser gets the benefit of doubt, not the accused. Anyone can go around making claims of guilt, pointing the finger, but that doesn't prove anything. The benefit of the doubt goes to the one being accused, not to the accuser. Aristotle said it is a supreme arrogance for somebody to take a look at a piece of literature, to claim it to be wrong, and to give themselves the benefit of the doubt and not the literature. The proof must be given. There must not be any other option except it's clearly a contradiction to believe it's a contradiction. For instance, to prove something in contradiction, first of all, you have to prove the accuser has the correct interpretation of the passages, that the accuser hasn't misinterpreted the passage. I would suggest to you that most of the time that people claim there's a contradiction, it's not a contradiction. It is either the ignorance of the accuser or the well-intended misunderstanding or lack of understanding by the accuser. For instance, somebody can read the Bible and say, well, the Bible says there are four corners of the earth. Therefore, the Bible is claiming that the earth is flat. And therefore, see, the Bible's wrong because the Bible's claiming the earth is flat. You got to believe the Bible's wrong because I say the Bible's wrong because that's what I say. Well, the Bible isn't saying that the earth is flat. The Bible's making an observation. In the same way, if the weather person says the sunrise will be at 7 o'clock in the morning and the sunset will be at 7 o'clock at night, you're not saying, oh man, that weather person is telling a lie because they think that the earth is, the sun is going around the earth. You know, they don't believe that the earth is rotating on its axis. There's no sunrise and sunset. Sun isn't rising and setting. No, they're not making a scientific statement. They're making a statement of observation. But we would never give, if somebody made the claim that a weather person is being scientifically wrong or is lying because they talk about sunrise and sunset, we wouldn't believe the accuser. We'd say, you need to understand language a little bit more. So often that is the case when people claim that the Bible is contradictory. For instance, in the Old Testament, there's a passage that says that they went in and they wiped out all the Canaanites. But then later it talks about how there were some Canaanites living in the land. Oh, there's a contradiction because that one says they wiped out all the Canaanites and that one says that there are still Canaanites alive. Again, is there any possible explanation for that? Is it not reasonable to believe it's an expression of hyperbole? If I say, boy, the Eagles came into town and they wiped out the Commanders this week, nobody is going to be like, really? The stadium, all the players, the facilities, everything was wiped out. Well, no, the stadium is still there. The players are still alive. You know, but you get the idea. There was a complete victory over the Commanders. And so when it says they wiped out all the Canaanites, it's not language of, you know, scientific precision. It's figurative, it's hyperbole. It's making the point, there was an overwhelming victory. Yeah, some survived. It's not a contradiction if there is any kind of reasonable explanation. And again, it's kind of dogmatic, if not arrogant, to insist, oh, no, I'm not going to accept that explanation. Many contradictions or supposed contradictions are differences in perspectives, not in contradictions. Two people see a car crash, or three people. One person sees it from behind. Another person sees it from the front. Another person sees it from inside the car. Three people can give an account. Two people may be focusing more on the facts. The one inside the car may be giving that perspective, but also talking about the experience. They'll have different details. They'll see things that others maybe don't see, or they'll focus on things that others don't focus on. But they're not essentially contradictions. They don't have to be contradictions. They are just different perspectives. They're focusing on different parts of the story. So, for instance, in the accounts of the tomb on the resurrection morning, when Jesus rose from the dead, John's account talks about how Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Nobody else is mentioned. Matthew's account mentions two women. Mark's account mentions three women. Skeptics will say, oh, look, they couldn't even get their story straight. Obviously, it's a contradiction because John says there was only one and Matthew says there was only two. And then Mark says there's three kind of thing. They're clearly contradicting. Well, no, John doesn't say there weren't any other women. Matthew doesn't say there were only two women. They are giving a perspective. They're focusing on different women for whatever reason in the development of that account. It's not a contradiction, it's a difference. Here's another rule for proving contradictions. Is there any possible way to harmonize the differences? It's a contradiction if there's no possible way to harmonize the contradictions. But if there's a possible way to harmonize the contradictions, the benefit of the doubt goes to the accused, not to the one pointing the fingers. That's arrogant. But often when skeptics cry contradiction, it's because they either can't see how to harmonize the differences, or they aren't open to harmonizing the differences. Next, to prove contradictions, you have to be able to prove that you know everything that can possibly be known to explain the apparent contradiction or apparent mistake. Classic example, Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, Belshazzar is named king of Babylon. Now, the problem was that historians knew at that time Nabonidus was actually king, and for a long time, skeptics said that's a blatant contradiction with history because we know that Belshazzar wasn't really the king. But the real problem wasn't the Bible. The real problem was their lack of knowledge, the skeptics' lack of knowledge. Archaeologists then discovered an inscription known as the Parisian verse account of Nabonidus. The inscription states that Nabonidus went away on a long journey. During that time, he left the kingdom in the hands of his son, Belshazzar. Again, the contradiction is solved. Another example is the accounts of blind Bartimaeus being healed. One account says that Jesus healed him while he was walking out of Jericho. Another says that Jesus healed him while he was walking into Jericho. Oh, clearly a contradiction, because one says he's going out, one says he's going in. It can't be both. And then we discovered in Jesus' time, Jericho had two sections. There was old Jericho, the old city. There was new Jericho, the new city. Jesus was apparently leaving one part of Jericho, going to another part of Jericho. See, what happens when we allow ourselves to harmonize the contradictions is we realize the nuances of the Bible, that the contradictions actually show the precision of the Bible, the insights that we get into the Bible that we wouldn't immediately have. But if you just assume that the Bible is wrong and your assumption that it's a contradiction is right, then you miss out on the wisdom to be discovered. See, the point is, when you come across something in the Bible that doesn't immediately make sense, give it a deeper look. Be humble. Don't be intimidated by somebody who says, I don't believe the Bible because it has so many contradictions. Ask, what are the contradictions? I can guarantee you the Bible's been around long enough, nobody's going to come up with a new contradiction. All of the supposed contradictions have been answered. That's not to say that there aren't some difficulties. That's not to say that there aren't some that is kind of like, huh, that's really interesting. I wonder how. Well, I don't have the answer to all of that necessarily. But there have been so many apparent contradictions that have been proven to be true, that have been proven not to be contradictions, but harmonious, that we can have faith in those few that still make us say, huh, there's more here to understand than I understand. So give the Bible, for that matter, give any piece of literature the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt goes to the passage, goes to the literature, not to the skeptic. Almost always, it is a misunderstanding, not a contradiction. And in the end, we will come to the conclusion that all scripture really is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God, I thank you that we can be confident in your word, confident that you speak to us through your word. God, we know that you are greater than your word. Our confidence in your word is because we're confident in you. And God, we don't worship your word, we worship you. And we thank you that you love us enough to communicate yourself to us through the creation, through your son, and through your word. Help us to know you better. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Walk in confidence. See you soon.